They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me on the Commons today is Nyla Ridings. Nyla is an Energizer Bunny in her own way. She's been doing a lot of guest blog writing and talking to a lot of people around the country. And what gives her the ability to do that and to discuss these issues, that's because she's lived through it. Nyla, thank you so much. I know you've got a lot of stories to share with us today.
I do, Sue, and thank you for having me as a guest.
It's always fun. I always love talking to you. So
thank you, and likewise. I, as you know, I've had a 10-year nightmare of living in an HOA, and I'm now on my third lawsuit with my HOA. Just to kind of refresh you, the first one was over trying to get financial records because we had a gentleman that had been the board member, board president actually, for about 20, 25 years. He ran it like it was his personal business, and we had $10 million unaccounted for. When I did get an attorney involved and pursued those records, he dropped dead. And to this day, we still have no idea what happened to that $10 million. It's still unaccounted for.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. His successor said that we didn't have any records. I got a detective involved through the district attorney's office. And then a year later, they were the board members, some of them were caught shredding records. And the detective told me that they didn't just find those records as they claimed. They had let him in those records about 10 months earlier. So you deal with these situations, and they don't get any better, or at least I've found they haven't gotten any better. The next situation I had where I ended up with a lawsuit was the fact that they let the house, I live in a townhouse, as you know, and they let the exterior walls rot to the point that the electric meters fell off, and I had massive water damage that destroyed my finished basement. And so we ended up in a lawsuit over that because they claimed that they weren't responsible for any damage that was caused by the failed maintenance of the exterior. Now we're into another lawsuit because the driveway and the fence belong to the HOA. And they let the driveway, I let them know back on April 1st of 2011 that the driveway was starting to drop in the section near the garage. Anyway, as time went by, they did nothing, and it kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And finally, it dropped below the concrete floor of the garage. And every
what
time
was
it
causing
rained,
it? What was causing it to drop, Nyla?
Well, according to the asphalt contractors that I've had out here, they're telling me that the base underneath the driveway has either eroded because of water damage, because the driveway has cracks all over it. And the one contractor explained it to me in a very good way. He said every one of those cracks allows water to penetrate through. Water follows gravity. The lowest point is where that water flows to. So his theory was, and he said he could not tell for sure until he tears the driveway out, but his theory was that it created little rivers, you know, small rivers underneath the driveway, which then eroded the base under the driveway. If there's even a base under there, that's what we don't know. His assumption is that there is no base under there. And he said for asphalt to stay in good condition, the base is very important, and you have to have large rock, then medium rock, then small rock, then sand put underneath the asphalt and then packed down really tight, and then you put the asphalt over the top of it. Until we tear it out, we don't know if that's under there or not, but we can tell that if it is under there, it has eroded to the point that that section of the driveway just drops. It has dropped down. The HOA came out a couple of years ago and tore out that section and put more asphalt in there, but again, it's starting to drop again, so our assumption is that there was no base put under there. But because it dropped under the garage floor, all the water ran down against my basement wall. My house is an L shape, so it ran against the basement wall and then flooded that side of the basement, and I had to have contractors come out, jackhammer the basement floor out, and put in a sump pump that connects into a drainage system that was installed on the other side of the basement because of the situation when they didn't clean the gutters and on my neighbor's unit that connects to me and caused the basement wall to crack on that side. So now I have a drainage system that is all connected and with a pump system on it that pumps this water out. Now, I should tell you this is about, you know, a $15,000 project that had to be done in order to get this water out of my basement. So the HOA let that driveway situation get so bad that I, again, had interior damage. And I asked them to replace the driveway and do this job correctly so that I can alleviate this problem as much as possible, because I would like to sell and get out of this neighborhood, obviously. But I don't want to sell it to somebody else with these problems. Then the fence was rotting and falling down, and I asked them to replace the fence. And they came out and put a few little pickets in the fence and called that finished. And the contractors that did that work on behalf of the HOA, I talked to them. They asked me to come out and take a look at the work they had done, and I asked them if the fence was fixed, and they said no, it was not, that the fence needed to be replaced. So I got the names of the people that were working on the fence, and they said, you know, ma'am, we could have replaced this whole fence, which is what needed to have been done, in less time than we've been out here putting these pickets in this rotten fence. I said, why did you do it this way? And they said, well, the owner of the company got the instructions from the HOA, and they told him this is what needed to be done. And I said, well, perhaps the owner of your company should have told the HOA that unless he was going to come out here and do the job right, he wasn't going to do the job at all. So now I've got a few pickets, and part of it has fallen down since they did the work. So we already know the fence needs to be replaced. And according to the contractors on the driveway, we know that needs to be replaced. The HOA says they're not going to replace it. It's not their responsibility to replace it. But in the 2007 annual report, part of that document, they had a section in there called the Chart of Responsibilities, and they listed what needed, what items they were responsible for, what items the homeowners were responsible for, and it's checked under replace driveway, it's checked for the HOA. Under replace fence, it's checked HOA. But we just had a hearing in front of the judge a couple of weeks ago, and when I brought that document to his attention, Now, this is going to crack you up. They told the judge that was not applicable because the man that wrote that's not, he's dead now.
Yeah, you told me that. That is just absolutely ridiculous.
So I guess...
And what did the judge say?
The judge didn't say anything, but I just sat there stunned. I thought, wonder what that means for our Constitution. And, of course, my second thought was...
Well, we've thrown that out the window anyway.
My second thought was, I'd sure like to find out if the developer that wrote the CC&Rs in here is dead or alive, because that could change everything for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, and this document was not like an additional paper that they handed out. It's actually in the left-hand corner. It actually says that it's part of the annual report, and it's got a page number as part of the annual report, and it's got the year on it. So it's not like something that they just handed out as an afterthought. So then the other thing that happened was one of the board members said to the judge, we don't replace fences. We don't do that. But this very board member back in 2007 got into a dispute with the HOA because she replaced her fence, and they said she didn't use the right wood, so they filed suit against her, and she filed a countersuit, and it settled that the HOA was going to replace her fence, and they did. And she has a freestanding home in this neighborhood. They put the fence all the way around the perimeter of her property, which is at least 10 times the length of the fence that I have, all paid for with my dues. And she had given me the copy of the settlement letter from her attorney on his letterhead. And she said, you know, can make a copy of it, bring me the original back, which I did. Well, I keep everything, which is why we're having this discussion about records. But I keep everything. And so the day she tells this judge that they don't replace fences, the HOA doesn't replace fences, I pulled that out of my briefcase, and my attorney started to read what I had pulled out when I handed it to him. She looked over and saw what he was reading, and boy, she exploded in the courtroom. And I don't know why she exited the courtroom. I have a feeling her attorney might have asked her to leave. But then my attorney said, Judge, you might want to read this. So he took that up, and the judge said, well, it appears that they do replace fences. So it's just kind of ironic that somebody that's on the board now that knows for a fact they replace fences because her fence was replaced is now willing to tell a judge that they don't replace fences. In addition to that, when the board members, the successor to the board member originally that had sued her, the one that died, the successor to him told everybody that they did not pay for her fence. And she heard that was being said, and she went to a board meeting one night and said, I want this on record. The HOA did pay for my fence. I did not pay for my fence. They paid for my fence. So she's made it a point to make sure that the neighborhood knows that we all, our dues were used to pay for her fence. But now that her story's changed because she's a board member, and I need the fence. In addition to that, which is kind of interesting, a couple in these meetings that we've had with the judge, this woman that I'm talking about, and another board member have tried to buy my house. At the same time, they're pushing to foreclose on my house. Now, they're wanting to foreclose because I've withheld my dues because the work hasn't been done, because they've breached the contract with me. And now they want to try to foreclose and take my house, but two of the board members are obviously trying to buy the house, which is a conflict of interest.
Yes.
So it's a little odd that in the courtroom they're trying to make a deal to buy my house, and at the same time they're trying to foreclose on my property. But I put the dues up. Back in April, on April 24th, I put the money up that they said I owed with my attorney in his trust account. That's what we agreed to in mediation, that I would do that, and they would release the lien from my property. I put the money up that very day of the mediation, and they did not release the lien. They claimed they did not release the lien because I did not sign the settlement agreement. But the reason I didn't sign the settlement agreement is they changed it. They changed it to the way they wanted it to be, not the way we had agreed upon. So I told my attorney, well, I'm not going to sign something I didn't agree to. But it was never part of the agreement that the original mediation, there was never any part of that agreement that said I had to sign a settlement agreement for them to release the lien. So anyway, my money was held until yesterday. So for 5 months, my money has been held in my attorney's trust account. And
what happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday is they decided they want to go to trial, and so they're going to have a four-day jury trial next June over a driveway and a fence. And this is typical of these HOAs, as you and I both know. They would rather bully somebody than to settle an issue. And the crazy part about this to me is that the money that I put into the trust account was more than it would cost to replace the driveway and replace the fence and call this a done deal. But now they've run up my legal bill and their legal bill, and they want a four-day jury trial out of this. But in my countersuit to them, we also included some violations of the Kansas Uniform Common Interest Owners Bill of Rights Act and the Kansas Uniform, or I'm sorry, the Kansas Consumer Protection Act. So they've got more counts against them if they pursue this through a jury trial. When I was willing to settle for a new driveway and a new fence in mediation, now they're going to push this all the way to a four-day jury trial, and the expense of that, you know, could run into probably $150,000 just for the legal side of it.
Tell me, Nyla, does Kansas have a statute that says that the prevailing party is entitled to closing costs, or not closing costs, legal fees, all fees and costs?
The way the Kansas Uniform Common Interest Owners Bill of Rights Act reads is that the homeowner can ask the judge to award them their legal fees, and in the cases that I'm familiar with, the judges have awarded the legal fees to the homeowners.
So if you win, the HOA is going to pay their fees plus your fees?
If the judge awards it to me, yes. They will be responsible for paying their fees and my fees. And any settlement that would come out of the KCPA violation and the Kansas Uniform Common Interest Owners Bill of Rights Act, there isn't a dollar value on that, but they could be found guilty of violating that act. So we had a lawsuit here 3 years ago where they pushed and pushed and they wanted to go to a jury trial with that homeowner. They did go to the jury trial. They lost all counts of the lawsuit, every count. And they had to pay for the legal on that gentleman. I think they paid 80% or something is what the judge awarded. That could be incorrect, but it's pretty close to that. And then they had to repair the gentleman's house on top of that. So the expense of that and going to the jury trial, the whole thing on that, they could have repaired and stuccoed the three-unit building that his unit is a part of and been done with all of it, as opposed to what they went through and then ended up having to do just his unit.
I know there's a tremendous amount of fear, and I know that homeowners typically don't speak out, but it would seem to me that if someone is just violating your trust and being abusive with your money, that the homeowners would say to the board, you've got to stop this stupidity, because that's what it is.
It is.
And
Do the homeowners know what's going on? Have they spoken out? Are they showing up? What's the deal?
In this case, the homeowners, I don't believe, are aware of this lawsuit. And that is one of the things that I, you know, have asked my attorney about, is since the neighbors, my neighbors are going to have to pay for all of this, when and how are they going to be notified that this battle is going on? Because to my knowledge, because the HOA has lost their insurance twice in 3 years over legal battles, I don't believe this time they've turned it into their insurance. So this time, they're on their own.
It's coming out of your pockets.
Out of the dues, exactly.
And $10 million has already come out of your dues.
That was all paid in dues, and we don't know where that went. It's unaccounted for. So you would think that these people would be more interested in knowing what's going on around here, but there goes the apathy, you know? They're just, they don't get involved.
So what did your attorney say when you asked him about it?
Well, he didn't really answer that question. I just said, you know, when are my neighbors going to know that they're going to be picking up the tab on this? And I suppose they won't know until they either see on the report, the financial report, how much is being paid out in legal or settlements or whatever, or they get that assessment letter in the mail. And you and I both know that those assessment letters really get people interested in what's going on, and then they get angry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the board makes sure that they convince those neighbors that the cause is the party that has the problem, not the board doing this. But it's, you know, these things are such a nightmare because you cannot reason with unreasonable people. And we've been in mediation twice over this one case because after the first time we had the agreement in mediation, then they went back before the judge and told the judge we did not have an agreement in mediation, and he ordered us back to the same mediator. We went back, and then their story was all different. And that judge, who is also the mediator, who is also a judge in our county, the way it's set up, when you go into mediation, you have a couple of options. You can hire an outside mediator, or you can hire, or not hire, but you can have one of the judges that works in the county court be the mediator for you. So the mediator that we had was the judge that presided over the jury trial on my neighbor's house. He was very familiar with the place. So they asked him to be the mediator. So twice we went to mediation with him. He finally just said, you know what, this is not going to be resolved in mediation. You're going to have to take this to a trial, to a jury trial. So that's where we're at now. He said, you know, I can't get this settled. And the reason we can't get it settled is because I've got bullies on the board that would rather bully me and would rather run up legal bills than to do what is right, and that is to take care of these problems so that I can get this house sold.
So, Nyla, those are the facts in the case, but I want to know how you feel about it. I want to know what goes through your mind. You sound like you're very strong. You sound like you know what you're doing, obviously. You've been down this road before. You've read enough about it. You know enough about what happens in HOAs. But what's it like to be in the crosshairs of a bunch of madmen?
Well, it's extremely stressful, and it's frustrating for me because my whole reason for buying in this maintenance-provided community was so that I could work seasonal jobs like 6 months out of the year, and the other 6 months out of the year I could do volunteer work. whether that be with, you know, some of my favorite charities, working in the local schools, helping a teacher out, whatever. I'm one that I believe that I've been very fortunate in my life, and to be able to give back was the way I wanted to, I guess, head into the finish line of my life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But coming into this situation, it's been very frustrating because this is not what I wanted to do with my life. I don't want to spend my time in the courthouse. I don't want to have my house covered with documents that I'm sending for legal battles. I don't want to, you know, have neighbors that look at me and stick their nose in the air and, you know, make ugly faces at me, write me hate mail and send it to me or stick it on my door.
Do they do that?
Oh, yes, I've had that happen.
What kind of mail do you get?
Move. If you don't like it, move. You've destroyed this neighborhood. Just move, you know. We want you to move because you've destroyed the neighborhood. I haven't destroyed the neighborhood. I've educated the people in this neighborhood about what is going on. I'm not the one that has destroyed the neighborhood. If telling the truth to people is destroying the neighborhood, then so be it.
I think what happens is the HOA manager, board members, whoever, they always mount this smear campaign against someone, and there are a lot of lies. Well, because they know who the board is, they know who the manager is, there's an assumption that these people are telling the truth. If they only knew that this is nothing more than a smear campaign that they're covering up for their misbehavior. You know, people should feel pretty stupid for buying into that nonsense. But I think that's part of the education process, isn't it? That this is nothing new. It's nothing different. It happens every time there's a dispute.
Right. They want to make sure that they try to destroy the person that speaks out.
Yeah.
And they have to do that because they don't want anybody else to speak out. And the other thing is once they can try to make that person feel unwelcome in the neighborhood, then you've got newcomers that come in. Like, I've had people that moved out. Some guys that lived right across the street. That's a perfect example. The day they were moving out, I went down to get my mail and walked past them, and I said, are you moving? And they said, yes, we are. And I said, oh, well, good luck to you. I had never said more than just hello to one of them when he was out walking the dog. And they started to talk to me for a few minutes and told me where they were moving to and so forth, and said they wanted to get out of this HOA and that they were losing money to get out. And I said, I understand, and wish them well. And as I walked away, one of them said, Nyla, will you come back here a minute? And I said, sure. But I walked back over to them, you know, and they said, we want to apologize. I said, apologize for what? They said, we've shunned you since we moved here. We shunned you because the person that came out on the welcome from the welcome group or whatever they call it, the welcome committee.
The threat group is what I call it.
Told us to stay away from you, that you were nothing but trouble.
Oh, so your reputation preceded you, or somebody's idea of what your reputation should be.
So they said, you know, we were told that you were nothing but trouble, and so we shunned you. But as we've lived here now for a few years, we know where the trouble is, and it's not you. And we appreciate that you've made the effort to expose what's gone on in here. But we want to apologize because we did not act very neighborly with you. And they didn't, and that was okay. I never knew that they were predisposed to that by somebody that came out from the welcome committee. But, and that was just one example. I've had other people say to me, you know, I was told that you're a bad person and that you're a liar. But the things that they've told me you lied about are things that I've now found are true. So you know, it makes a hostile environment, and it's not like I fear for my life or anything like that, but it's just not, it's not a happy environment, you know?
It's not a community, is it?
No, it's, oh no, it's not a community. It's a war zone. And many of the people have moved out. And a lot of the board members, people that have served on the board, have now moved out. Some who have got, had a lot of work done on their houses before they moved. And I've got pictures of all of that. There was a lot of money spent to do things that needed to be done on their houses before they put them on the market and sold them. But that was okay. See, this is the other thing, is some people get services and some of us don't. So that's an issue. But, you know, it's just, I think the thing that everybody should know when you move into one of these places is that you need to keep every single record, every single mailing, every single annual report, take pictures of any problems, document anything that you report to the HOA or the property management company. Do not do it verbally. Do it in writing. Keep a record of it, because you never know when you're going to need it. And you may not anticipate ever getting into a legal battle with anybody. But, you know, my history of working in the business world, I've just always been one that kept good records. And thank goodness that I have. Because not only have I had to resource those records, but I've had a number of neighbors that have come to me to get copies of things because they know I've basically got the library here. And so when they've gotten into legal battles, they needed that information.
So what are you going to do with your library when you move? You going to take it with you, or are you going to have a bonfire, or are you going to post it all over the internet?
No, I think, you know, I've thought about that. What will I do? Because one of the neighbors had been in here for, oh, I don't know, 15 years or something, and when she moved out, she brought all of her records to me, so I have all of her stuff. And I think when I'm no longer a part of this, and I hope that that happens, you know, soon, I would like to take it all and watch it be shredded.
You'll shred it. You'll get rid of it.
That's what I hope to do with it, is just shred it all. And know that I will never be back in this place ever again. I don't even want to drive through here after I leave here, because it has been such a horrible experience that has, you know, obviously wiped out my retirement savings. It's affected my health. I think I've told you before, I lost all the pigment in my skin from the stress of living in here. So I don't have the same life that I had. I'm an outdoor person, but I can't be an outdoor person here because I can't be out in the sun. Like, you know, I used to be able to be out in the sun all day. I can't do that anymore. So it changes your life. It changes the way you live your life. It changes your events that you can attend. People invite you to go to a lake or a picnic or something. You can't do that when you have no pigment in your skin. It really changes your life. And so I don't wish this on anybody, but I would tell everybody to make sure that you keep good records. And then, you know, we talked about this the other day, and I want to address this situation where this woman called me, and she had inherited a place in Florida that belonged to her grandmother or great aunt or somebody. And right after she inherited it, she got a notice for an assessment for $10,000 for a new roof. And she's, I think she said she was 28. And she's married with two children. They drained their savings account of the $10,000 and sent it down to Florida to the HOA to pay for the roof. And then they decided, well, they better rent the place, because the cost of the taxes and the insurance and the HOA fees and the utilities, they just decided they better rent it. So she read through the documents and said that you have to get approval from the board to rent. So she sent the request, and they notified her that they had reached their maximum on rentals and that she could not rent the unit. So as much as she needed to do it, she decided maybe she should have to just go ahead and sell it. Put it on the market. It did not sell. Her husband lost his job. They're now stuck with a condo in Florida that they may or may not be able to use once or twice a year, and they're paying the taxes, the utilities, the insurance, and the HOA fees, and scared to death that they may get another assessment letter for something, and her husband lost his job. So she said, I'm the breadwinner here. We're barely able to buy groceries for our family, but we're spending all this money on this condo that I inherited. What can I do? What if we just stop paying those dues? And I told her, they will garnish your wages.
Well, they'll sell the condo. They'll foreclose. She'll lose that.
Right, exactly. But, you know, even if they foreclose on it, she's still responsible for those dues until that time. You know, there was no mortgage on it, but the HOA would foreclose and take the condo. But she was so distraught, and I felt so sorry for her. And, you know, after hearing her story, it made me really think that we all should think about that as we face those, you know, retirement years and the end of our journey here on Earth. Do we want to leave something like this to a younger generation, to be stuck with this ball and chain of a piece of real estate that's in an HOA? I don't want to do that to somebody that I love.
I think one of the things that I'd like to see us do is put an end to it. Now, I'm going to hear from a lot of people, you're not being realistic, Shu. You've got all these things and you've got to deal with them. I think what we're dealing with is a whole lot of problems, and they're unnecessary problems. You've got a special interest that is just milking this for all it's worth.
Yes.
You can still have these things. People say, well, I really would like a pool that I can walk to. You can still have that. But your house does not have to be used as collateral to keep that pool running and managed by a bunch of people who don't know the first thing about managing a pool. You know, it's just,
right.
The whole concept is just so absurd. In a condominium, I understand that the ownership is very different. But since when does it make sense to pay someone to tell you what to do and how to do it in your own home?
Oh, I'll never do it again.
How,
I can tell you that.
Well, in a condominium, I mean, you tell the manager, get together, have your meetings, have two meetings, have one annual meeting, make a decision on what needs to be done and what the owners want to do, and then instruct the manager, and the manager then sees that the wishes of his or her employers, is carried out. But the way we've done it is we've tipped it on its end, and it's just not making sense.
It's destroying people's lives. It is absolutely destroying people's lives and their financial well-being, you know. It is so risky to buy into one of these places. Now I realize the risk. I never would have bought in here had I understood the risk of owning in an HOA. Never would I have done this, because, you know, you are basically becoming the guarantor on all debts, loans, lawsuits, settlements, liabilities, construction defects, and disaster rebuilds. The minute you sign on the dotted line, you're not buying a piece of property. You are buying a bunch of risk.
You're buying a lot of headaches. I want to go back to, you know, to what you were telling me about having lost all the pigment due to stress.
Yes.
I want to go back to Dr. Gary Solomon.
Yes.
And one of the things that he would like to do is make it so that you can sue the HOA to get damages for ruining your health.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I do think that's a great idea because, you know, I came into this community. I was perfectly healthy. And I noticed that, you know, as time was going on, I would have these milky white spots all over me. And I went to the doctor. They did all kinds of tests. But, you know, all the tests came back negative. And finally, you know, I was seeing a specialist. And finally, he came in and he said, Nyla, I've done absolutely every test I can do. Every one of them has come back negative. There's only one other reason that you could be losing the pigment in your skin. And you need to tell me what kind of stress are you under? Because this is the only other option of what this could be. And I said, well, I live in this HOA. And he leaned down to me and he said, get out of there before it kills you.
So he's aware that the stress, that an HOA can cause enough stress to really do some serious harm to you.
Well, he said, you know, this every other test has come back negative, and there's only one other thing that I have not discussed with you, and that's stress. Because he said stress, prolonged stress will cause this. It's a disease called vitiligo. And he has now sold his practice here locally, and he's teaching medical students in New York City. But I know where he went. And he was an excellent doctor, had an excellent reputation. He was highly recommended to me. And he immediately diagnosed what I had. And at the time, I just had, you know, blotches on me. Now, as time has gone on, it went from, you know, head to toe. I have no pigment at all. I mean, all the way to the ends of my toes. It just wiped out all the pigment. And that's what he told me it was. He said, you really have a form of PTSD, like soldiers have, because you've been in this constant stress for so long, it's taken its toll on your body and caused it to... It's an autoimmune disease, and he said it causes the body to eat up its own pigment.
So put him in touch with Gary Solomon. The medical community needs to start accepting this, because until they do, it's just going to continue happening.
Oh, I would love for the medical community to understand what this does to people, because... You know, well, you know, with all the people that we talk to on a weekly basis that are stressed out and suicidal even.
Yeah.
You know, there are people out there that literally are ready to end their lives.
Yes.
And I've talked to some of those people. And, you know, I tell them, get out. Get out of this environment. It is not worth your life to take your life over these horrible bullies, these people that are so evil. And that's the most disturbing thing, is to know that these people that are your neighbors are as dangerous to you as, you know, we worry about the terrorists that are on foreign soil. I think these people in the neighborhood are just as dangerous as those terrorists, because they're right there controlling your life, how you live every single day, under the guise of being, you know...
protecting your property value.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that is such a joke.
Isn't that a hoot?
It's a joke. It's a joke, Shu. For me to sell my house, I'll lose $200,000.
Yeah.
It's a joke. That's not protecting any property values. That is a total farce. It's propaganda is what it is. I mean, every time I read that someplace, it just...
It's got to be good for you if it hurts, right?
No, it's not. It's not. I've owned other homes, none of which were in an HOA. Every single one of those I sold for a substantial profit. Nice neighborhoods, nice neighbors, No HOA.
And the property values went up.
And my property values went up in every single one of them.
And
every single one of them.
And in this one, they went down.
Oh, yeah, like a rock. Dropped like a rock because, you know, when you've got all these problems and you've got lawsuits and you've got, I think you are aware, we also have a $1 million loan in here. So when you have, $10 million unaccounted for, a $1 million loan, lawsuits, now we have about, I don't know, 125 rentals. Last time I checked, we had the highest number of foreclosures in our city.
Wow.
Which is the second largest city in the state of Kansas. We've got the highest number of foreclosures right here in this neighborhood. So when you take in all those things, you know, to account, the realtors, a lot of them don't want any part of showing anything in this neighborhood or listing it. And some of the people have tried to sell, and then they couldn't get financing. The buyers couldn't get financing. So that becomes another issue. And, you know, when people come in here and they drive through and the place looks like a ghetto, it really does. So, you know, the money has gone for the clubhouse. The clubhouse, you go in there, it's got wood floors and fancy window treatments and, oh, all because, well, one of the board presidents had a quote-unquote decorating business, and so she decided the clubhouse needed to be redone. Even though these houses were rotting, that's where the money was spent, on the clubhouse. And they put in flower beds and, you know, and they put in dog waste stations so that the people that are out walking their dogs don't have to take it home with them. They can just drop it off, and there's a cleanup service for that. Really?
How many units?
513.
So it's a fairly large place.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's a PUD is what it is. So we have freestanding homes. We have duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. And they're all kind of intermingled. So, like, I'm a fourplex. But across the street from me are freestanding homes. So in the area is a beautiful area. The land is beautiful. The trees are beautiful. And there's no doubt that this place would be much better off bulldozed and redeveloped. It's prime real estate in this city. But, you know, when you don't maintain it and then the money is unaccounted for and you have people on a board that know nothing about business management and then they hire these property managers, they're at the mercy of these property managers because whatever they say, they have to accept to be the truth because they know nothing else to question it. They have no business experience. So as you know and I know, you just can't run a business with a bunch of people that have no experience running a business and no strategic planning experience and no financial experience, you know, no project management experience, no construction education at all. It just doesn't work.
The whole
and
concept
it'll never
is
work.
Flawed. The whole concept is flawed.
The whole concept, yeah, it will never work. The only way something like this would have ever worked is if when the place was built, then there were professional people that were on a board that were overseeing the financial side of it, the construction repairs, the maintenance, that sort of thing. But you would have had to have a whole board of people that were nothing but professionals, not a bunch of people that have nothing better to do than to go out here and try to make their neighbors miserable, and then they get on the board and they get drunk on their power.
What kind of common areas do you have? I mean, what do you have in common? Obviously, they've taken over and you've got the driveways and the fences and all of that. But is there anything like parks? Is there anything, swimming pools, tennis courts, all of that stuff?
There's two swimming pools. There's a tennis court, And there used to be another tennis court, but they converted it to a basketball court. Then there's a playground. And then all of the land is common land, common ground. I don't own any land other than what's under, right under my structure. The freestanding houses own their lots, but the rest of us are on common ground. So all of it's common ground. Some of the streets are city streets. Some of the streets are private, the cul-de-sacs, and some of the other streets are private streets. So then you've got the maintenance of all of that and the street lights. So we've got a mixture there.
So if they had designed this where you owned the land, the city owned the streets, and Pools R Us owned the pools and the other recreational facilities, and if you wanted to join, you could, and it was open to anyone else who wanted to join. So there was something there. There was something available. So if you wanted to walk to a pool, you still had that option, but that your money was not held hostage to run.
Right.
And then not have a board, not have a management company. You don't need that. If you've got someone who owns the recreational facilities and, say, a park, and then everything else is privately owned, deed the streets and the lights to the city, you don't need all of this.
No, the only problem we would have is that you've got these attached houses.
So what?
And so that would be, with each one of your neighbors, you would have to have a working relationship to agree to take care of the roof and the siding and that sort of thing.
Nyla, with the designs, I live in a townhouse, and the HOA does not own and does not have anything to do with the common walls. That's between my neighbors and myself. We've had townhouses a lot longer than we've had HOAs. And you've never had these issues. You've never had these issues. Design them so that the roofs are individual. I'm responsible for my own roof. My neighbor's responsible for his roof. So there's no need to have it all thrown into one big pot.
So you have your roof breaks before your neighbor's roof starts. It's offset so that you're not a continuous roof there.
Right. Oh, no. No, they're separate.
Okay. See,
they're separate.
We have them connected.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's an issue. That's what I'm saying. If it were designed properly from the beginning.
Right.
Instead of mixing it all up. All of that, that's absolute natural nonsense. If things were designed, I own the land that my townhouse sits on. I own my front yard. I own my backyard. I own my roof.
No, I don't own any land at all other than what's underneath my unit. And like I said, I don't own the driveway or the fence.
Well, we don't have a driveway. We have parking. But, again, if things were designed properly, you don't need all of this headache.
No, if you can, somebody would have to really sit down and think this through, but the worst thing I think that happens in these HOAs is when you have neighbors ruling neighbors and making decisions about how a neighbor can live. Because just like my situation with this board member that got the fence and is now trying to foreclose and take my home and buy it for herself, at one time, for years, I considered her a friend. She would, have me over for dinner. She would, bring me birthday gifts and Christmas gifts. And, we had a good friendship. Anytime she needed a letter typed or written, she would contact me. I can go through a long list of things that I did for her. But, boy, the minute she got on that board, totally different personality. Different person.
That doesn't surprise me. As Lord Acton said, power corrupts. An absolute
exactly.
power. You won't believe this, but we are out of time.
Boy, we could talk for 3 days, Shu, and not talk about it all. But that's thank you so much.
That's the truth. There's so much to talk about and so much going on. But thank you for keeping us all abreast of what's going on. Good luck with your battle.
And thank you so much. And thank you for all you do with your radio show. You just don't know how many people you're helping.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.